This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi tawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. May yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlil fala hadiya lahu amma ba'd. So this will inshallah be the final in our four-part series on Al-Aqsa, the history of Palestine and Masjid Al-Aqsa and how we got to the situation that we are in today. So just to recap, over the past three lectures, we looked at Al-Aqsa in the time of the previous prophets and its virtues in Islam. Then we looked at Al-Aqsa in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu and the conquest of Al-Aqsa and how it became part of the Muslim world. And then last week we looked at the Crusaders, that brief period of time in which the Crusaders had conquered that land and turned it into the Kingdom of Jerusalem, and how Salahuddin Ayyubi liberated Al-Aqsa and brought it back into Muslim hands. So the bulk of the history of Palestine is very, very peaceful. If you have to study the history of Palestine from the time of Umar radiallahu anhu until now, about 1,200 years is just peace. There's like literally nothing to study. It was a land of peace, a land of barakah, a land of freedom of religion. Muslims, Jews and Christians alike lived in that land, worshipped in that land in peace. So what happened? What led to the situation that we see today in Al-Aqsa? What happened was a combination of a variety of different political factors, and it's difficult to discuss political factors in a Jummah khutbah, so I'm just going to summarize them. But essentially, three things happened: the rise of Zionism, the fall of the Ottoman Empire, and World War I. Right, these three events combined led to the state that we see today, or the situation not just of Palestine but of the entire Middle East that we see today. So about 120 years ago, a group of European Jews came up with the idea of establishing a homeland in Palestine called Israel. They called themselves the Zionists. Now, it's important to note that this whole idea of establishing a homeland in Palestine goes against Judaism. It goes against their religion. Because according to the teachings of their religion, they were expelled from that land and they have to accept that expulsion. They have to accept that as the will of Allah, as the will of God. And so the majority of practicing Jews in the world did not follow Zionism. In fact, the people who started this movement were secular Jews, meaning they were just Jewish by race and by culture, not really by their beliefs. As some people say, that the people who want Palestine, They don't believe in God, but they believe that God promised them Palestine. They have very contradictory beliefs. They don't really believe in religion and God. But when it comes to claiming that land, they say God promised it to them, so it needs to be given to them. So this movement started about 120 years ago. And it's only about 60 years ago that they took over that land. So what happened? What prevented them from getting hold of Palestine? One simple thing prevented them from getting hold of Palestine, and that is the Ottoman Empire. Right, Palestine, until 100 years ago, was part of the Ottoman Empire. And as long as it was ruled by the Ottoman Empire, nobody was able to take it. And it's not like they didn't try. The early Zionists tried to speak to the Ottoman Khalifa, Sultan Abdul Hamid II. They tried to bribe him. They tried to buy off the land. They got the British involved. They tried many different tactics. But they wouldn't budge. This is a holy land, this is a Muslim land, the majority of people living there are Muslims, and the Ottomans did not budge. So as long as the Ottoman Empire was around, and as long as the Ottomans were ruling the Muslim world, that land was safe. And by the way, many people don't realize this. When we think about the Ottoman Empire, most of us think about Etrurul and Osman and Suleiman the Magnificent. We think about 600 years ago, 400 years ago, the Ottoman Empire ended less than 100 years ago, or 96 years ago. Right? It's not something ancient. It's something that lasted 600 years. It started at the time of Etrurul 600 years ago, or 700 years ago. And it ended 94 years ago. So this is not This is not an ancient civilization we're talking about. The Ottoman Empire is very, very recent history. It's something that just ended in the previous a couple of generations ago, in the previous century. So, at that point in time, the Ottoman Empire was still around. It was still one of the world powers. It still controlled the Middle East and a large portion of North Africa and many other countries as well. But it was weakening because colonization had started. And many of the Muslim lands began to fall to colonization. So Egypt was one of the first lands to fall to colonization. India was another land that fell to colonization, and Muslims never got it back. Right? India was a Muslim land, a land ruled by a Khilafat for over 1,000 years. Many of us don't even know this about our own homeland. It was a Muslim land ruled by the Khilafat for over 1,000 years. The last empire to rule it with the Mughals. And they lost its control of it to the British. And then the British, of course, lost it to the modern democracy, and that's when it split into India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. All of these are new countries. So, what happened? What caused the downfall, or what caused us to lose that land? Very simply put, World War I happened. And coinciding with World War I was the downfall of the Ottoman Empire. The crumbling and the ending of the final that we know of Khilafat in the history of Islam. Inshallah, there may be more in the future, but at this point in history, the Ottomans were the last Khilafat. And essentially, the Ottomans were on the wrong side of the war. Right? There were two alliances in World War I, and the Ottomans chose what ended up being the losing side. But it wasn't just the war that broke the Ottoman Empire. There were other factors as well. Mainly, same thing we spoke about at the time of Salahuddin, betrayal from amongst the Muslims. So, some of the Arab tribes had allied with the British against the Ottomans. And some of the Turks had rebelled against the Ottomans because they wanted a secular liberal state. And so, the Ottomans had to fight traitors from within their midst in Arabia and in Turkey. And this destabilized them, and this caused the empire to fall apart. It caused Turkey to become a modern secular state, and it caused the British to take over that part of the world. So when World War I ended, many of us don't realize just how devastating this time might have been. Just imagine you were alive 100 years ago. Right now we're living through a pandemic. If you were alive 100 years ago, we'd have been living through a much worse pandemic. Right? And along with that, World War I. And along with that, the fall of the Ottoman Empire. And along with that, the British taking over all of the Muslim lands. Allah saved us from living through that time. But this is what happened 100 years ago. The British come in and they take over and they literally start dividing up the Muslim world. Saying, okay, this land goes to France, this land stays to us. And now they have to please their allies. But here's the way problems comes in. The British had promised the land of Palestine to three different groups of people. Right? To form their strategic alliances, they promised that land to three different groups. To the Saudis, right? The Saudis were one of the tribes that had, Arab tribes that had betrayed the Ottomans. I know it's not politically correct to say that, but it's a historical fact. They had promised Palestine to that group. They promised them to another Arab tribe, and they promised it to the Zionists, to the Israelis. Right? We weren't Israelis yet, but they were Zionists. So, this led to a huge controversy as to who owns that land, and who's going to be the government of that land, and what's going to happen in that land. Eventually, that land was divided up. What we call Palestine, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon today was, in the time of the Ottoman Empire, one country. And it was divided up into smaller countries to give each ally, you know, a piece of the pie. And the Israelis decided to take things into their own hands. They started moving into that land and settling. So they started building settlements in a land that was already occupied. They were already Palestinian farmers living there. But they began to move in and start building settlements around these farms. And then suddenly, after about a few years of doing this, they started to attack the farmers. And they began to take over those farms. And they began to kill and to massacre and just take over lands. Until a larger and larger and larger portion of Palestine came under Zionist control, and they were able to, 60 years ago, establish the state of Israel. Now, there's many things to note about this situation. Number one, When they took over those lands and destroyed the villages and farms, many people had to run away. And right till today, in many, many countries around the world, you will meet Palestinians who have no home to go back to. Their lands were destroyed, their families were massacred, they had to run away, and they had to try and survive, and they are living all over the world, except in Palestine, they cannot go back to where they came from. Right? And that's the situation they remain in until today. Then, number two, the Israelis themselves were not satisfied. The British tried to step in and to divide the land, saying this land belongs to the Israelis, this land belongs to the Palestinians. But they never divided it fairly. It was always unfair against the Palestinians. If you go back, and again, I don't want to get too political because it gets too technical for Jummah Khutbah, but the details of the treaties were always in favor of the Israelis. And even when they signed peace treaties, they would always violate it and keep expanding their lands and trying to take over more and more of Palestine. To give you an idea of how the demographics have shifted there in the past 100 years, when the Ottomans ruled, 3% of Palestine was Jewish. 3%. And today they control the bulk of that land. It's not because of immigration only, but that immigration is masking a massacre. A massacre that they hide from the world. So they portray to the world a false story. That false story is that land was empty and they moved it. The land was not empty. People were living there from the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. People were living there from before that time. People were living there from the time of the Romans. Right? People were living in Palestine from that time. And their descendants lived there. Some of them were Christian, some of them were Jewish. Many of them converted to Islam. And that those people have been living in that land from that time. There was never an empty land. And this is a lie that they promote in order to make people sympathetic towards their cause. So, the state of Israel was founded upon the weakness of the Muslim Ummah. And it's not the only state that was founded upon the weakness of the Muslim Ummah. The entire situation of the Muslim world today is a result of the fall of the Ottoman Khilafat. That we have today many Muslim lands that are poor. Many Muslim lands that are in a state of civil war. Many Muslim lands ruled by tyrants. And many, many, many Muslims who had to run away and live in non-Muslim lands for the first time in history, because it's the only place where we can live in peace and practice our religion in peace, which is an irony. It really is ironic. And that's the situation we find ourselves in. Unfortunately, I can't give a happy ending to the story. The story is not over yet. Allah knows best in which direction it will go. But as Muslims, we are supposed to have husnul zan of Allah. We are supposed to be optimistic about the future of the Ummah. And so I will end on that note, that inshallah, one day this Ummah will be revived, the Khilafat will be revived, we'll experience another golden age, and things will go back to the way they were in the past, or maybe even better. Subhana rabbika izzati amma yasifun, wa salamu ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفر ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد. I just want to link this story up to something else that happened in our past so that we can get some hope. I don't want to end this on a negative note, I want to end it on a note of hope. So, many of you are familiar with the TV series Entourage and Smile and you know the fictional side of it. I just want to go into a bit of the true story to give us a bit of hope. About 700 years ago, the Mongols invaded the Muslim lands and destroyed the Abbasid Khilafat. And the Muslims living at that time thought it was the end of the world. They actually believed that the Mongols were Yajud and Majud, Gog and Magog. And they thought the world was ending. And they thought that was it. There's never going to be another Khilafat. There's never going to be another Muslim empire. It's over. The world is ending. Very similar to us today. Right? Very similar to us today. The Ottoman Empire has fallen and many, many Muslims around the world believe it's the end of time. Many Muslims around the world believe that, you know, that the major signs are about to happen and we're just waiting for the Mahdi. But that's not what happened 600 years ago, and it's possible that's not what's going to happen now. We don't know when the world's going to end. It could end in our lifetime, it could end 1,000 years from now. We don't know. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, when is the hour? He said, I don't know any better than you. I don't know. The Prophet ﷺ didn't know. So we shouldn't assume that the world's going to end in our lifetime. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that even if the world is ending and you have a seed in your hand to plant, you go ahead and plant it. Meaning, whatever projects you are working on, whatever good deeds you are doing, whatever hope and optimism you have, you keep it right till the very end. So I don't believe in this doom and gloom idea that the world is over, the world is ending, we're waiting for the Mahdi, that's all we can do. That's not an Islamic attitude. The Islamic attitude is, we don't know when that's going to happen. It's our job to work to revive this Ummah. It's our job to work to revive Islam. And if Allah blesses us with that, Alhamdulillah. If He doesn't, He will reward us for our intentions and our efforts. So, when the Mongols took over the Muslim lands, and people thought the world was ending, and people thought it was over, Allah allowed new powers to rise from where we never imagined. From where we never imagined, because until that point in history, the Khalifa of the Muslim world was always a Quraysh. Was always from the Quraysh. The Umayyads and the Abbasids were all from the Quraysh. But with the Mongols taking over, who are the next generation of leadership? The Mamluks, the Ottomans, and the Mongols themselves. Because the Mongols eventually converted to Islam and became a Muslim empire themselves. And the Mamluks, this is fascinating. Do you know who the Mamluks were? The Mamluks were slaves. They were Muslim slaves who fought the Mongols, defeated the Mongols, and ruled the Muslim world for 200 to 300 years. A lineage of slaves, because again, this concept of slavery in Islam was very different from the slavery of the West that we know today. But they were an actual empire that ruled this Muslim world, Egypt and the surrounding areas, for a few hundred years. But the most important of the empires that popped up at that time were the Ottomans. And people don't realize how miraculous this is historically. Because until that point in time, these were just nomadic tribes. They were just tribes that moved from land to land and lived a simple life. But the circumstances of the Crusaders invading from the West and the Mongols invading from the East forced them to change their lifestyle. They had to take over cities. They had to build bases. They had to establish an empire. They had to fight wars on both sides. And they became the Ottoman Empire. And it grew from one city in Turkey at the time of Osman. It grew over 300 years until at the time of Suleiman the Magnificent, they were the most powerful empire in the entire world. This is no joke. At the time of Suleiman the Magnificent, the Ottomans ruled 50 countries across three continents. They were the superpower of the time. This is 300 years after people thought the world was going to end. This is 300 years after people thought Muslims will never have power again. This is 300 years after Muslims thought that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are here and the world is over. So my point is, we should never lose hope. We should never lose hope. Just as Allah took the Ummah from darkness to strength at that time, He can do it again today. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us through the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that at the end of every century, Allah will send revivers of this religion. At the end of every century, Allah will send revivers of this religion. Sometimes those revivers are political, like in the case of Salahuddin and the Ottomans and Umar bin Abdul Aziz. Sometimes they are scholars, because you need a scholarly revival, like in the case of Imam Ash-Shafi'i and many others. But we don't know in our time which one it's going to be. But we need to have hope. We need to have hope that Allah will revive this the Muslim empire in our times. And that Allah will bring about a new khilafat in our lifetime, or maybe in the lifetime of our children. And that this ummah will see glory again. And that all of these civil wars and oppressions and tyranny that we see in the Middle East and in other Muslim lands will end. Because Allah does not allow these things to go on indefinitely. Every tyrannical nation is given an end date by Allah. They are given a point in time to make tawbah. And if they don't make tawbah by that time, if they don't repent by that time, they don't change by that time, Allah wipes them out. Whether it's through a natural disaster, whether it's through civil war, whether it's through conquest from another nation, but Allah wipes them out. This is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done over and over again throughout history. So we should not lose hope for Palestine. And we should not lose hope for Syria. And we should not lose hope for the Muslim world. Because Allah is our Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us in the Quran that if we are righteous, Allah will give us power over this earth. This is in Surah Nur. Read Surah An-Nur, the beautiful verse where Allah says, those who believe and do good deeds, Allah will make them the khalifas of this earth. Allah will make them the khalifas of the earth. And this is the promise of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to revive this ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring peace and stability to all of the Muslim lands, and to bring piety to all of the Muslim hearts, and to unite us upon the truth, and to bring us back a new golden age and a new khilafat. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.